All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? This is Jeremy Brenner here, and we're going to do something a little bit fun here. So we've been doing three shows a week for the off season. I start us off on Mondays. Mike gets the floor on Wednesdays, and we come together as family for Friday. But the good thing about this is that it gives us opportunities to welcome guests and to bring on people that are around Rockets Twitter, and we have that opportunity to do that tonight as well. So without further ado, I'm going to let y'all in on our secret guest for this episode. He is a familiar face at the Dream Shake and along Rockets Twitter, and he is better known as the Vibes Meteorologist. So I'm going to ask Mr. Zeke right here to give me the forecast for the Vibes tonight. Zeke, what's going on, man?
Hey, my buddy, how's it going, man? You already know what it is. The Vibes is what?
Vibes are immaculate, absolutely. And I'm so glad that I'm able to have you on the show. And I'm excited to get, hopefully, the rest of your compadres over at the Rockets Twitter Spaces, the Safe Spaces, and many other members of Rockets Twitter on the show later this off season. But Zeke, we've got a fun exercise tonight for the listeners, and I'm just going to briefly explain it at the top, and it will hopefully make more sense as the time goes by. So this just in, breaking news, not really, but breaking news, the Seattle Supersonics are coming back to the NBA, and we're about to have an expansion draft. That's right. So how NBA expansion drafts have worked in the past, each team has to protect 8 players and allow the rest of the league or the rest of the team to be eligible to be selected by the Seattle Supersonics. So what this does here for us is it kind of allows us to rank the Rockets per se and who's worth keeping, who's worth possibly leaving up for a potential snag of the Sonics. And that's what we're going to do. So Zeke and I, we are going to include the 2 first round picks that the Rockets have. And as part of this exercise, we're going to name who we would think as those 2 first round picks, the top 5 pick, and then what is going to be number 17. We'll just say number 17 with Brooklyn's pick. And we'll use that. We'll throw them into our list and rank them as we go. So 8 players, the top 8 Rockets, who we're protecting. So Zeke, are you good? I want to make sure you're good before we start this.
I think I'm good. I think I'm good.
Just follow my lead. How about that?
Yeah. I'll follow your lead.
All right. So we're gonna go in order here. We both made lists. You made a list, right, Zeke?
Yes.
All right. So we both have a list. Pre-show list of our top 8 based on who we think is most valuable to the Rockets at this point and who we would like to keep. I'm going to take a wild guess, Zeke, and guess your first player. And I don't think it should be much of a surprise that Jalen Green would be the first player to protect.
Of course. I mean, the way how I kind of put it was just like, okay, if the draft came first, right, and we had to do it, so like I'd put draft picks first. But obviously, if we're talking about like players who are actually on the Rockets that should take priority, it's Jalen Green.
Yeah,
that's my favorite child.
And I'll be honest, Zeke, like I have both of the draft picks later on the list. Like okay. I still thought that Jalen Green is number one, and
of course
I would take Jalen Green number 1 in this draft if he were there. And I think that he would be, honestly, the undisputed number 1. I think he's a lot better than any of the top 3. Obviously, I've seen a full season of him, and he's a little bit further along than the prospects that we've got. But I think his upside is still much larger than anyone in this current draft or anyone on the Rockets at this point.
Well, you know, I mean, it's hard. You know what I mean? Like, usually the draft is just a draft. You don't know, right? But Jalen Green, we saw what Jalen Green is. And especially when he capped off the season with that 41-point performance, it's kind of like, oh, who's the next guy can be an offensive juggernaut? We already see it with Jalen Green. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you have to pick with what you know first, correct?
It's a proven commodity, and that's why he's there at number one. Number two, though, there might be some debate here.
Okay.
But, Zeke, I'm going to give you the floor here, and you get to say your number two first, and I'll counter if it's different.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I think right now, since we're going to go, like, real people first, I'm going to go real people first in this
case. All right.
I'll say Alperen Sengun.
Really? Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. All right. That is a little bit lower on my list. I'll say that. Alpi is actually number four on my list.
Oh, interesting.
He's number four on my list. But why don't you explain your scenario? It's definitely not something I'm against, but drop your reasoning for why Alperen Sengun is number two on your list.
I guess it's because he's there already. You know what he is. He's on your team already. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And I think is that along with somebody like Jalen Green for what he can provide offensively with the, like in terms on the perimeter, Alperen Sengun, if he was to reach his potential, obviously, he can be another big that can, you know, conduct and connect on the floor, right? Which will make Green's life easier. And whoever the draft pick and whoever is also there easier. You get what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
You know, and the point is with him, he's already shown signs that he can be somebody really good on defense. It's just more so, can he get better with his footwork? You know what I mean? He just
wants
work to be on the court. So yeah, I would take him.
See, here's my thing about LP that in it's why he's a little bit further down on my list. It's not that I don't love Alperen Sengun, because I do, but I am assuming that we're going to take a big here at the top five. And I don't know if – I don't know fully if Sengun is going to vibe with that with the big man. And, in fact, there's a chance that the big man that the Rockets draft this year is has more upside than Sengun. So – to kind of preview my top
four. I think I know where you're going with this.
To kind of preview my top four, I have Sengun at number four. I have the draft pick at number three, which I'll reveal later. At number two, I've got KPJ.
Oh, yeah, KPJ.
I've seen enough from KPJ that has me – he is the 1B on this team, or the 2. Solid two. And you know what, honestly, Zeke, you know what I can kind of see from these two? What I kind of hope they morph themselves into? Like a better version of D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards.
I like
that's
that.
That's kind of what I'm envisioning with these two is I'm looking at and mainly the comparison comes from the fact that I feel like Anthony Edwards and Jalen Green are both extremely similar. And D'Angelo Russell and Kevin Porter are definitely different players. But I think the way that they complement each other, I think that like that's why they've worked this season, right? Is because D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards have really vibed together. And I think that Kevin Porter and Jalen Green can also share those vibes. And I think what we've seen is when they don't play with that dominant big man, like when we were playing earlier in the season with Christian Wood, you would see how those two wouldn't necessarily get as much of run as they could have. Mm-hmm. But you look at them now and you think, wow, these two could be something for real. And that's why I'm saying, yeah, Jalen, KPJ, no question. Obviously, I think Jalen is number one way before KPJ is number two.
Right.
But that to me is like kind of why I numbered it or ordered it the way that I did, if that makes any sense.
No, that's fair. That's fair. KPJ is funny for me. KPJ is actually You know how you were talking about opera and singing before in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of swapped places with
KBJ. You got KBJ at four?
Yeah. And that's, I have that pick at three.
All right. And I don't think that that's like a slight against KBJ or a slight against Sengun. It's really not. But I think we're on the same page here of where who the core of the team is and who you got to keep. But yeah, number three is the draft pick, the top draft pick in this draft. And as the guest Zeke, I'm going to let you take the floor on this one.
Okay.
Who is that draft pick?
Okay, drum roll, please. Jabari Smith.
Okay. So, see, I'm really glad that you said Jabari Smith. So go ahead, explain Jabari Smith.
Okay, so for me, the reason why I picked Jabari Smith is because of the fact that he's not just a big, he is a wing, right? Wings are a hot commodity in today's NBA. All the playoff teams, if you looked so far across the landscape, all have a wing of that caliber. A wing that can switch on defense on most possessions, on every player that they can possible. Play help side or blind side defense and be able to hit a three. In this case, you have somebody who's actually like 6'9", 6'10", with a 7-foot wingspan and is a hyper 3-point shooter. Like, if we have saw what, like, if anybody has looked at what we saw from this Rockets team, we do not have a wing that can be able to hit that open corner three. Do we have KJ? Yeah, he does it occasionally.
Not consistent enough, yeah.
But not enough. Tate, let's not even bother with Tate. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
And then just like all the guys that we try to plug in. He just makes life easier. And, you know, I think that's what is like mostly valuable at the moment for us. It's no slide on KPJ for four. I just feel that like somebody like KPJ comes in to add on top of that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't view him as, like, I'm not really crazy about having, like, two hyper-offensive backcourt. We saw that relationship throughout the NBA landscape. It has not produced a championship. The only time it's done is with Detroit, and they had a superior defense.
Yeah, that team is defense. I wouldn't even consider that team an offensive team.
Yeah.
They won because they had the best damn defense in the league, and that was almost 20 years ago.
That's like, and when I'm talking about Pistons, I'm not even talking about that Pistons team. I'm talking
Bad
Boys. We're talking about Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you went way back in the archives for that one.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, think about it this way. When was the last time you saw, like, to a backcourt that scores a lot of points and dominates possessions and won a championship?
I mean, Steph and Clay, but like,
they don't dominate possessions, and they're always a top five defense.
I see what you're saying.
It's like, it really starts to make me feel like, okay, what we need to do is prioritize inside out play. And then if you can get people to play defense and just make hyper efficient offensive decisions.
So yeah.
The ball doesn't stop, you know?
So I'm glad you said Jabari Smith, because it would be really boring if we both had the same answer.
I already know where you're going. Because once you said big and you were like, oh yeah, you know, Sengun would probably may not play nice, I know where you're going.
I got Paolo at number three.
Interesting.
I got Paolo at number three. And the thing is, I really like the fit of him, because I think that for me, honestly, and I kind of mentioned on the last episode where we talked about our offseason wish list. Go check that out if you haven't done so already. But I think the difference between the three of them, Chet is a more of a developmental guy and not really what the Rockets are looking for. I think the Rockets are looking for a guy that can push their make their team better next season. And Chet is going to have a learning curve with him. They're all going to have a learning curve. I just think that Chet's is going to take a little bit longer. And he's going to need to bulk up. So I just – like, obviously, if the Rockets end up with a third pick and Jabari and Paolo Banchero are off the board 1-2, you do take Chet at number three. But I think that I would rather have Paolo over Jabari and Chet, mainly because I think his ceiling is – the best. I think he's the best player available in terms of lowest floor and a pretty high ceiling. I think that that's kind of what we're going at here. So to me, like, I think also, Zeke, you've added an interesting spin on this. I consider Jabari to be a big, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should be seeing him more as a wing, because he could operate as such in the Rocket system. I think that there is a space for him in that realm.
You can even say Paulo exists in that realm also. He's a kind of he can be a wing because of
his and I think that's kind of how the Rockets would utilize him. I don't know if his defense is as good as Jabari's, but I guess what I'm saying is I think with Paulo, his connections to the team already does make a difference for me. And also the fact that he is like, you know what they need him to be, Zeke? They need him to be, or whoever they make that pick, they need him to be the Chris Middleton to the Giannis.
Right.
Let Jalen Green be Giannis in terms of just the number one scorer, and let Chris Middleton cook. Like, you can't just forget about Chris Middleton when you play the Bucks. And hopefully for the Rockets, you can't forget about Jabari Smith, or you can't forget about Paolo Banchero when you're playing the Rockets. And you know, you can also argue that Kevin Porter can be like the Drew Holiday. If his defense can continue to improve at the rate that it's been, I think, and then you utilize him as more of a pass. Like, that's the thing though, is he is a scorer. So, but to me, I don't see how you can take Kevin Porter out of the starting lineup. Like, not anytime soon. I don't think that Steven Silas would be the one to do it. I think it would end up being the next coach that does it. I think that Kevin Porter has done more than enough to earn his space in the starting rotation for the Rockets.
No, I agree. I mean, if we're operating under the guys that, you know, the basketball gods come in and say, Seattle's back, right?
Yeah.
Based off what we saw from the last, seven games from KPJ, you're not going to get rid of him. You're not. And based on the trajectory of where he's going, you can say, okay, those seven games were enough to say, under the guys that we're rolling the dice one more year, we can roll with him. Uh-huh. We can roll with him unless, like, you know, some unmitigated circumstances happen where, like, you can no longer go with him anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're rolling the dice. We're rolling him again. You know what I mean? Yeah. More on the KPJ stuff. It's like, you know, KPJ is, you know, people like to talk about, like, what he is and what he's not. Here's the thing. The pathway for him to be successful is already there. He's a plus 40% three-point shooter off of catch-and-shoot threes. He's really good at finishing at the paint. And he has decent reads. And he's very active on defense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's the part that gets lost in translation. Like, we're saying KPJ is a bucket, but no one really gives him his credit for how active he can be on defense, right?
You know who KPJ is?
Who?
KPJ.
Yes.
You know who he isn't?
What?
Nobody else.
That's a great way.
The man is one of one. And yes. Like, I feel like there are shades of his game in other players, but I think, like I've said this multiple times with Kevin Porter, people need to, like, the Rockets are also, and this doesn't just go with Kevin Porter. This is more, you know, the Rockets are trying to build a team that is going to be successful in 3 or 4 years. And part of that comes with forecasting how teams win games 4 to 5 years from now. So the Rockets, while their lineups may feel wonky or weird or just unorthodox, it's because they're trying to create an unorthodox, never before seen way of playing. I mean, there are a lot of similarities, and I don't think they're trying to reinvent the wheel per se, but I do think that this particular team is going to be very different than what we have seen in the past.
No, exactly. I mean, yeah, I mean, honestly, I know people are going to say, why does it look wonky? I mean, listen, not every rebuild,
does not look the same, right?
Exactly.
There are some rebuilds that look down bad, and there are some rebuilds that look beautiful. The Celtics rebuild of years ago when they had Isaiah Thomas in the league, like that was a rebuild that people pray for.
I call that more of a restructure than a rebuild, but yeah.
I mean,
you know, retooling,
or like what the Raptors just pulled off this season. That's
for the Warriors.
Or then you could be, like the Kings and be rebuilding for 15 years. That's the worst.
I'm hoping that that's not what we're going for. But to kind of get back on track here, let's move on with our list. So we've set our top four. I've got on my list in order, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter, the draft pick, which I presume to be Paolo Banchero, and then we have Alperen Şengün. And Zeke, on your list, you've got Jalen at the top with Şengün number two, your presumed draft pick at number at the top five, which is Jabari Smith, and then you have KPJ. Right. So we've got basically the same top four, just in a different order. But number five
does this change.
All right, I'll go with five. You know, I think this might surprise some people, but I've got Jacob at number five.
Wow, Jacob at number five.
I feel like a lot of people are like, maybe, maybe not. No, he is safe. That, like, do not send, because here's the thing, too. If he were in an expansion draft, he would go. Like, I don't see why he wouldn't. He has just so much upside to me that it's just insane. Like, I see him as, like, taking that role that Eric Gordon's had as, like, the sixth man kind of guy, and just being like a jolt of energy off the bench. And I think there's enough that we've seen him already beat our expectations so much. I don't necessarily think that he's going to like stunt. I think he's got more that we haven't seen yet. And I'm really excited to see what he's got in year two.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Like, I can't even argue that one. You know what I mean? Like, that's
where's Jacob on your list, Zeke?
Because I made the list wrong, right? So I'm trying to think about it. If I had to put him in priority,
So he wasn't on your list.
No, he was. He's on my list. He's on my list.
All right.
I just ordered the list wrong in relative to how we're doing it.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, let me think about it. Let me think about that.
First. So you got to take your last four and prioritize them.
Yes.
But yeah, and while you do that, I'll kind of get on my soapbox and get more Jacob conversation in. All right. But like the thing with him is it's difficult because you're talking about Josh Christopher, and you don't and to have him at number five might sound a bit high because there's not really a path for him to the starting lineup, I would say, just because chances are the starting lineup next year, he's not going to be in it. And there are probably some people off the bench that you would put in above him. But I think long term, if we're talking about the Rockets that you have, he is the fit in terms of up until the end of next season, basically, because we've got the two picks on top of the team we have now. He's the person that he's top five in terms of who I'd put my stock in.
Yeah. Right now. No, I mean, I just reordered my list and I put him in
five. All right.
Yeah, because you know what it is? You know what it is? Like, he's basically like a miscellaneous player. Like, he comes in and he just does everything you ask.
And the good thing
he's
about
like
him,
too. He's like the spark plug that you can't be mad at. He can play point guard, shooting guard, small forward. He literally takes up the space that Eric Gordon is about to get cast away this season or when he expires from his contract.
And that's another great point that you made is he can play with Kevin Porter and Jalen Green. He can play with just Kevin Porter. He can play with just Jalen Green, and it works in every single scenario. I don't think there should be a lineup per se that has one of, like, every lineup needs to have at least one of those guys. Mm. Preferably, you would like for there to be at least two of those guys out there and for them to just kind of run a three-guard rotation where they all play like 30 or so minutes a game.
Right.
Personally, that's how I would play them if I were Steven Silas. So that to me is worthy of being the fifth most valuable player on the team.
No, I agree with that. So who do you have number six?
Number six. All right. Now this, this is interesting as well. I was going back and forth between the draft pick and KJ. And so I ultimately decided.
Why are we having this similar thing, man? This is crazy.
And I ultimately decided with KJ over the draft pick.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Just for the sake of being different, I'm just going to.
You're going to switch it?
Yeah.
You're
going to switch it? Opposite. Even though like I was literally fumbling through this because I'm going to reveal who I have last. For an eighth, it's Christian Wood. And it's not because, I think he's a bad player or like I hate him or anything like that. The point of the matter is that he's talent at the end of the day. He's realized talent. And if you're going to keep him in this like draft, so to speak, he either can contribute or he can contribute as an asset in a trade farther down the line. You understand what I'm saying? That's just talent you just don't let walk away.
So you have, KJ, the draft pick, and Christian Wood to round out your list.
Yes.
See, I have KJ, the draft pick, and Jayshon Tate to round out the list.
Oh, wow. So you know what it is? I think Tate, if we're being honest about Tate and what he's done compared to Christian Wood, he's regressed. And the thing about Christian Wood is that he may be an expiring contract, but he's still talent. And in the same process, like, Tate is also an expiring contract also.
Well, Tate has 2 years left. And on top of that, so going into next season, he has 2 years left. So he becomes a free agent in 2024.
Interesting.
2024 is when he becomes a free agent. And
okay, bet.
You know, I see a lot of arguments for Garuba down in the chat.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to bring up.
That was tough. So like this last spot really came to Jayshon Tate, Usman Garuba, and Christian Wood. And AD, I know you're talking in the chat. If you want to come up here and defend Usman Garuba, feel free to hit that speak request button. Or if anyone in the chat wants to defend Usman Garuba, come up and act as his counsel.
AD, listen, AD, I really thought about it hard, man.
It's definitely a difficult choice.
This is the problem here. It's between when you're like in a situation where like you have to retain players, you literally have to pick between like actual talent versus like the actual product of what somebody is versus like what they can.
Potential.
Yeah. And it gets tough.
I'll say this. I think that out of those three players, the person that would most likely go in an expansion draft would be Jayshon Tate. And that was my biggest reason for it. I feel like with Christian Wood, he would be likely to come back only because he does have that expiring contract and he has proven to be
an offensive big.
Yeah. And so like it wouldn't surprise me if the Seattle Sonics in this scenario were to take him, but I think that they would be more likely to take Jayshon Tate over those guys because Jayshon Tate has been seen as a guy that if he were in the right situation, if he were in the right system, could be a starter on a championship caliber team right now. And I think what they've seen from him already is that he could be that. And I feel like most GMs are more likely to point towards Jayshon Tate as someone that they would want on their team over Christian Wood, even though Christian Wood makes more money than he does. I imagine Jayshon Tate, when he becomes a free agent, will make Christian Wood like money.
But I'll say this. Let's say I'm going to sit here on this soapbox and defend Garuba, right? Mm-hmm. Garuba over Tate because yeah, Tate may be the impactful player because he's played, you know, in the NBA and has produced himself to be at least like a PJ Tucker light in the sense that he can go in and just raise hell on defense, right? And just play make some as a secondary playmaker, even though he has his flaws. We're not going to go there. I can go on and on about how yeah. about Tate, right? But I think the point is to look at Gruba is that Gruba may be young, but we saw Gruba playing meaningful basketball in the Olympics. And he was clamping up superstars and literally playing world basketball. And he was playing for, what was it, Real Madrid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he was playing meaningful basketball in a really good league.
Yeah.
This is not a knock. So like there's more to say that he will be he will be a productive basketball player once he figures it out.
But my thing with Garuba, and to kind of go more on the main timeline here, I just feel like Garuba is going to be the odd man out of just what the Rockets are doing right now, and it sucks. And the thing is, you knew that this something like this was going to happen because they drafted four guys last year, and it was just going to be difficult to play all four of those guys. Garuba just so happened to be the one that got injured, and ultimately, and just Garuba just had an incredibly unlucky season where he got injured right away, then he got COVID, then he was going back and forth between the G League, and he just never found his footing, and the team moved on without him. And that's the thing too, is like the Rockets are going to bring in so much more talent. They have two first round picks in 2023, right?
Mm.
And then multiple picks. They have multiple picks every year until 2027.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Eventually have to consolidate these picks.
Exactly. And I just feel like Garuba's going to run out of time. He's going to run out of time, or the team's going to trade him because they see value in trading him, which sucks because you don't want to see any of these young guys traded. But I'll say this. I think this is a good exercise because it tells you who you think is going to be part of the Rockets' future. And I think Zeke, what we've seen is as much as we would like Garuba to be part of the future, I think the Rockets have to put their priorities elsewhere.
I'll say this, right? The crazy things about rebuild is that I remember our friend our friend Lee said this, right? He told me one time personally, he's like, Zeke, when it comes to a rebuild, you don't know anything. All you have to do is trust the general manager. You can't get attached to basketball players. The front office will do what's best. And we'll just have to sit down, shut up, and believe them. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not Stone, so I don't know what's going on. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that decides whose time is up or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way how people draft will decide who will be available and who is not. You know what I mean? We didn't think we could get Sengun at pick 16. He just happened. It just fell to us. You know what I mean? So I would just say, like, I wouldn't want to say somebody's opportunity is up, but any of these players that we're putting on here and we're saying we have preference for, their time could come up at any moment. Mm-hmm. So I like to preface and say not
like the top of our list, but maybe the middle of our list is not as secure.
Right.
Which let's kind of move back up a little bit because we kind of skipped 6 and 7 a little bit.
Yeah. I was about to tell you. Let's rewind a little bit.
All right. So we got KJ at 6, and then the second rookie pick at 7. KJ at 6, I think is very fair. Mm-hmm. I think given like a lot of people want to start him, Zeke, start KJ or come off the bench KJ.
Mm. Okay, so here's the thing, right?
It depends on the.
Okay, so hold on. Let's see how the lineup is so far. So in our ideal lineup, right, we would have Sengu starting. We would have the power forward or wing that we have, which is either Paolo or Jabari, right?
Let's just say you have Jabari just because that's your pick.
Okay. So Jabari. And then our three. Yeah, we would need a three. Yeah, let's start KJ.
You think KJ would start the three over Jae Sean Tate?
I mean, in my world, Jason Tate's not on the team, so he can start.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, and I think in this case, it's better for the team because then there's less. Less is more. I think what happens with Tate, Tate just does too much. Like, he is more talented than KJ in a vacuum. But for what the talent is on the floor, you don't really need him to be a connector, especially when he has tunnel vision. You already have players that can already shoot the three and knock it down.
Right? I think the good thing about Jayshon Tate, and I think what we're going to see in this third season with him, is I think he's going to take fewer shots. I think he's going to recognize that the guys that are there on offense are capable. And that's not to say he won't put his head down sometimes and go to the rack like he can, but I don't think he's going to have to do that as much because there's going to be Paolo or Jabari or Chet or whoever, hopefully, right, in the front court. And there's going to be a two backcourt, you know, with KJ and KPJ that, you know, he's going to be the guy you leave open in the corner. So I'll say this, Jayshon Tate, every single day in the offseason, I really hope he's taken like 500 corner threes and becomes a master at it, because that's kind of what we need. If he was making his threes at a 40% clip, then he would be on this list without question.
He doesn't. Well, 40% clip is a little too high. That's the elite of the elite. Just if he can make 35% of them.
Yeah.
Probably let's be nicer, 34%. I don't think anybody would be mad.
That 1%.
That 1%.
That 1%. All right. So, I mean, I see value in having Jayshon Tate start. I think defensively he would match up with the top scorer from the other team. I think that's important. Mm. And I don't know if KJ's there yet, but I do think we're getting to a point now where in this training camp coming up, it's going to be a legit storyline, and it's going to be, well, let's figure it out. I don't know if Silas is going to bite and change anything, but I'll be interested to see what happens there. But number seven is that draft pick.
Okay.
Anyone you have in mind for that second draft pick? That's basically what this question is.
Yeah.
Who are you taking at 17?
So this depends if this guy can slip, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really am a big believer of Tari Eason. Tari Eason is basically a damn menace on defense. He can also put the ball in the hoop. There's something, you know, what I'll say is this, right? My look at draft, right? When I look at the draft outside of the lottery, I look for players that have an elite skill and what can you build on top of it? And is it like transition? Can it work in the NBA? Right?
Mm-hmm.
One skill that he has is his motor. Actually, the skills that he has is his elite motor skills and his willingness to play defense. His defensive metrics in college basketball are ridiculous, right? And he's able, and as a sixth man, he was able to put up 20 points a game, right? Now, the jump shot looks funny, right? But as you can tell, like, this team knows how to fix jump shots, right? Jalen Green came in with a chicken wing. That came out, that fixed, right? KPJ came in Houston not being able to shoot a three. Now this guy is one of the better three-point shooters in the league, right? There is something to be said that it could happen with Tari Eason with work, right? Now, if Tari Eason doesn't come out, let's say we don't get Tari Eason, I like Wendell Moore from Duke because he's malleable. He can do a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys there.
I've seen him and he'll bring up the ball and set up. He's really good at shooting threes. He's just a guy who just knows how to play the game of basketball. So
there's a lot of guys at 17 that are intriguing. Usman Dieng is another guy that AD's mentioned in the chat. For me personally, I've got Kendall Brown from Baylor.
Okay.
Is Kendall Brown from Baylor, he's interesting. You know, he gives me a lot of Josh Christopher vibes as just someone who, you know, was really revered coming out of high school and didn't necessarily perform to the best of his abilities in college, but he is just a hooper, man. And he can shoot the three, 6'8", so he'd be that wing that you need. And I do see myself, I guess, valuing a lot on offense, considering I've put KPJ so high, and I've put Josh Christopher really high, and I've devalued maybe defense in a slight way. That's the thing, though, that's going to have to change about this team moving forward. So, but at the same time, you know, you get guys like Garuba who are there strictly for defense, and Garuba hasn't panned out as much as you would hope. So I think the best way to build is getting guys that are super strong on offense and find a way to take their defensive intangibles and use it to their advantage, as to, you know, when they're probably focusing more on the offensive side of their game. That's what they're going to need to do with guys like Kevin Porter, with Josh Christopher, with Jalen Green in some respects, and Sengun. I think Sengun's another player that you really need to, you know, because he brings so much to the table offensively as a passer and as someone who can space the floor that you need him on offense. But in order to get the defense to that same level is going to be the tricky part. And I think it's also a lot easier to draft offensive talent, and then you see how these, you know, and then you get your defensive guys through free agency. And I think that's ultimately kind of what the Rockets are going to try to do, is kind of go for offensive talent. That's what they did in this draft, in this past draft. They went for Jalen Green over, Mobley.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, so like that was kind of what kind of clued me in and said, okay, they value offense. And I think that's kind of why we see Jabari and Paolo as better prospects, because offensively they're a little bit more further along than Chet is. And I think the same can be said for, you know, a lot of guys. So that's, I think, what this exercise has done, is it's really shown what we think the Rockets prioritize, as and then as just individual fans, kind of what we value. So I think this was a very successful experiment, Zeke. But before we go, let's just throw our lists down 1 through 8. So you share yours first, and then I'll share mine.
Okay.
So who are you protecting in this faux expansion draft for the Rockets?
So Jalen Green is 1, Alperen Sengun 2, Jabari Smith 3, KPJ 4, Josh Christopher 5, and then just the sake of being different from you, even though you and I agree,
yep,
I picked Tari Eason at 6, KJ at 7, and Kristen Wood 8.
All right, and then for me, I've got Jalen at 1, Kevin Porter 2, Paolo Banchero, the top draft pick at 3, then I have Sengun at 4, Christopher 5, KJ 6, the second rookie pick, which I have tabbed as Kendall Brown, number 7, and then number 8, I have Jayshon Tate. So it's a very interesting list, and obviously with Wood and Garuba being kind of our honorable mentions and Jayshon Tate, I think that it shows, you know, we do have a lot of guys here that are worth investing in. And I think, and I, like I mentioned, you know, Jayshon Tate for me was more of a strategic decision as to who another team I think would want to snap up. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I don't think the Rockets value Christian Wood and Garuba or anybody that wasn't mentioned tonight. You know, I think it's just a long, you know, I think the Rockets have a lot of potential and a lot of upside with every guy. And that's what you have to do when you have a rebuild. You have to throw as much, you have to throw as much as you can at a wall and see what sticks. And I think the Rockets have enough that is sticking to make me a believer in this team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I believe in the Rockets. They have done a lot of things to make you say this is a competent franchise, right? Mm-hmm. They made lemons out of
Mike lemons. Doesn't agree with that fully, but he'll have his say on our next episode.
Yeah, definitely. I'll just say that, listen, if you're looking at the draft and see how all 4 guys come out, especially 3 of those guys became like main rotation guys for this team, you could say that this team knows how to find, like, knows how to make lemons and turn them into lemonade. Look at Garrison Matthews. We had him come out of nowhere, shoot blazingly throughout, like, most of the season until he fell off a cliff towards the end. Mm-hmm. You know, Jayshon Tate is another guy. He picked him up out of nowhere, and he's a contributing factor to the team. Somebody that we actually debate about if he's the core guy on the team. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they know how to get their guys. So, you know, I believe in this team.
Let's hope there's no expansion draft anytime soon.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't want to get rid of any
hard decisions. And you know what? I'm happy you said, like, the Seattle Supersonics expansion draft, because when I thought expansion draft, like, I immediately thought, like, oh, somebody, you know, the plane, like, a team plane crashed and then everybody.
No.
And I thought about the Reddit. It was a Reddit NBA post from years ago that somebody said, what happens if that happens? And it's like, expansion draft. And it's just like, oh, damn.
That's not happening.
Yeah, that's not good. You can't have that happen.
But I do think it is going to happen in a few years. I think by 2030 we'll definitely have an expansion draft, and we'll actually have to talk about this, and you know, have to actually make decisions. But that day is not today. I'll tell you that. And this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Dream Take. Thank you to our big, awesome, super amazing, immaculate guest, Zeke. Zeke, tell the listeners where they can follow you on Twitter.
Hey, man, you know where to find me. You can find me on Twitter as It's Just Zeke. Just he plays the ITS part with a Z. So it's ITZ, Just Zeke, and then you'll find me right there.
Yes, and be sure to also follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dreamshake SBN. You can also head to our Facebook page if you're over there. Give us a like and head to our website, thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, at SBNation.com. We'll be back on Tuesday night to record. Mike's got the show. Don't know exactly what he's got planned yet, but I can guarantee you it's not something you're going to want to miss. It will be out on demand on Wednesday morning. So be sure if you listen to us on your commute to work or at the gym, feel free on Wednesday to hit that play button, or you can listen to our past episodes. That's a good thing about the off season is that all of our episodes are pretty relevant still. So go and check out our past episodes. We've got 3 episodes a week during the off season, and we're super excited to talk off season with Rockets. To me, it's the real season. So thank you again, Zeke. Thank you to our listeners here that listen to us live here on Spotify Live. And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you guys so much again for tuning into this episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.
All right. Peace, guys.